You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
The 5th and 6th of April, right?
Yes.
Now, peculiar thing, in County Roscommon, right, there were three men killed in the 5th and 6th of April 1921, right? And they were shot as spies by the IRA.
Right.
Now, as I said, this thing, are they spies?
Are they spies or are they convenient people that they want to dispatch?
Yes. Now, one of them is an ex-RIC man. I say, let's be straight, RIC men didn't tend to make friends. And they may be very honourable men and they may be dishonourable men, but they are definitely probably targeted.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're not popular.
They're not popular, no. Mm-hmm. No. The first man we deal with is a fellow called Edward Byrne. Now, Byrne is a very good common name.
Yes.
And this fellow was living near Scramogue. Now, there was a big ambush in Scramogue. And there was four or five British soldiers killed. And our friend, Edward Byrne, now I don't know if that had anything to do with the ambush, but at some stage he was picked up by the IRA. Because he was very vocal in his outbursts against the IRA,
yes.
And very clear in his friendship with the RIC.
Right.
And at some stage, he was picked up and he was shot dead. Now, that was on the 5th of April 1921. On the 6th of April 1921, postman and an ex-serviceman by the name of John Gilligan was also executed by the IRA. Now, as to whether he was guilty or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, the IRA thought he was and they executed him. Now, the same day, in another part of, the same part of Roscommon, Loughlin. Now, remember, Loughlin was where our friend from Cappamore, Sean Berrigan,
right.
The Woodlands of Loughlin, but he was executed.
Yes.
Around that time, around the same time. Or sorry, he was killed, in IRA, flying column commander, and he was killed by British forces. Now, in fairness, he was probably executed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had any intention of taking a prisoner the same day. So this man, John Weems, or whatever you want to call it, he was a 66-year-old retired RIC constable. He was executed. Now, as I say, anyone's death is tragic. Now, as to how much they contributed to their own death, hard to figure. Both Gilligan, Williams and Bem were listed as spies. Were they spies? I honestly don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, as I said, some of them probably were, and some of them may not have been.
But as we say, when they're executed, it's hard to find out.
It's very difficult to find out then.
Yeah.
And even if you found out, what matters is
it? That's it. You know, they're gone then, so it doesn't matter whether they were or not.
Unfortunately, they are dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, on the 6th of April 1921, I have a feeling we spoke about this man previously. A guy by the name of Jackie Brett was killed down on the Kilkenny to Berry border, right? He was a member of the Tipperary West Kilkenny Flying Column under Mr. Sean Hogan. Not the most dynamic of beings in my book.
Yes.
But anyhow, Bryce was was killed. He was in digs or something, and someone went fiddling with a gun, and the gun went off, and Brett got shot in the head, and he died from his wounds. Now, the interesting thing about Jackie Brett is that he was the corner forward on the Tipperary team that played in Bloody Sunday.
Yes.
In November 1920. But as I say, he was actually the third, I think I mentioned this previously, he was the third member of the Bloody Sunday team that was killed, that died violently.
Yes, I think that's where we met him in that context before, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mike Egan was centre back. He was Egan originally went Free State. He was an officer of the Free State Army, and then he switched over. Now, whatever hope you have of staying with the clouds you're with, if you switch over,
it's not. You know, it's definitely not going to make you popular.
It's not going to make you popular, and it's not very healthy. And Egan was eventually killed in the Civil War.
Yes.
Moving on a bit, in Cork, on the 9th of April, there was a place called Ballygarvan. There was a young ex-British soldier. Now, this fellow was fairly notorious. Dennis Finbar Donovan, known as Din Din. And Din Din was strongly reckoned to be giving information, and that he was the man that led to the five or six Irish men being picked up near Waterford, and they were killed. And that Din Din was blamed for it. And when he was captured eventually, then I said, they didn't show too much mercy to him.
Yeah.
Now, coming more local, on the 6th of, the 13th of February, right? 13th of April, right?
Yes.
There was a RIC man killed at Fenimore. He was a black and tan by the name of George Rogers. And what was happening was very interesting. He was at a stag party. Now, one of his fellow RIC members was holding a stag party, probably to marrying a local lady.
Okay.
Now, as I say, this was extremely a dangerous action, because the local lady was the daughter of a prominent member of the GA. And I was able to determine that the marriage wouldn't go ahead. Now, the Bartos Redford was the name of the guy getting married, but he was having a stag party in pub in Fenimore, what was the Hollow Bar later years. And the IRA Moria attacked the barracks in Fenimore village, knowing that the members, the men that were at the stag party, would run out to go to the assistance of their comrades in the barracks. Now, the attack on the barracks was only a feint to draw the revelers out of the pub. And sure enough, it did. It drew them out.
So they put a lot of planning into it.
Yes. Yes. So there was a fair bit of planning with it. Anyhow, as I said, when the Black and Hans ran out, the RIC men ran out of the Hollow Bar, and they ran to a few slate of shots. And the man, the intended target, Aldous Redbird, he was wounded. There was another RIC man from County Leash. He was wounded as well. And our friend Rogers was killed. And Rogers was from London. As I say, he had been in Ireland about 6 months as a black and tan, and he was killed in Fenimore. Now, the irony is that the intended target was Aldous Redford, and Redford married the local lady about 2 months later in Croom, regardless. Now, I did notice that the when the marriage was held in Croome, that Redford had, for one of his best man, he had an RIC man from Fenimore. And the bridesmaid was the sergeant's wife in Fenimore. Now, the lady getting married did not have, she had plenty of sisters, but she was not attended by one of her sisters.
So the suggestion would be that she didn't have support of her family?
She didn't have the support of her family, but a sister of hers did also married a black and tan. Now, the sad thing about the lady getting married was she had to go to England with Redford, right?
It was a very difficult time for people to be living their ordinary lives, wasn't it?
Yes, very, very difficult times. Now, this gets even worse because apparently our friend Barbara Redford walked out on the lady after a couple of years, leaving her with two children. She can't come home.
Yes.
She's stuck in England.
And she's nobody there belonged to her.
Now, I think she had an aunt, all right, you know, and she had a sister at night, another black and tan, but what the relationship with them was, I don't know.
Mm, mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, dare I say, it's not a very nice situation to be in. Anyhow, as I say, moving on. On the 14th of April 1921, there was a shooting, a man shot dead at Kilmarna House in Kerry. He was known as, his name was Arthur Vickers. Now, it says, who the hell was Arthur Vickers?
Yes.
Arthur Vickers had been the keeper of the Crown Jewels in Dublin Castle.
That's right.
Back in the day, right? Now, he was a little bit of, I think he was a bit naive. That's what I would use.
Yes.
And some of the fellows that were knocking around with his nephew or anything but decent men, and they took advantage of Vickers and they robbed the jewels.
So the suggestion is, isn't it, that he was manipulated and, you know, he was in the target.
He was definitely manipulated, yeah. I'd say. He was definitely manipulated. A bit naive, right?
Yes.
Now, he retired back to Kilmarna House in County Kerry. Now, I think the house was gifted to him by a cousin of his. And, like, you have to ask, what information would he have to give to the RIC? I can't figure out what information he would have had. Because he wouldn't be in the way of getting it unless someone gave it to him maliciously.
Yes.
Now, either way, Vickers was taken by the IRA and executed, and the house was burned. Now, I have an awful feeling, to be honest about it, that it had more to do with land.
It's another case of, again, once again, dead men tell no tales.
Dead men tell no tales, that is correct. And I have a feeling that that's in there somewhere. The division of land was probably at the Nobodemacher. Anyhow, as I said, that was our friend Arthur Vickers.
Yes.
He had a sad and tragic life. You know,
and probably brought to an end by a measure of agrarian greed anyway.
Yes. I mean, I think he was naive. I would say he was naive. Mm. I don't think there was any, what information would he have? So really, what information would he have? Unless someone gave it to him maliciously.
Yes.
Anyhow, as I say, that was on the 14th of April. On the following day, the 15th of April, 1921, I think it was a Sunday, actually, there was a man playing golf on Tralee Golf Course. He was notorious. He was a notorious Major Alistair McKinnon, right?
Yes.
Now, he was an auxiliary, an auxiliary officer, right? And Rook was very brave, no question about that. But also Rook, he shot Tufus in cold blood at Pipe Bank Range. He raided a house on his own on Christmas Day, 1920, and there near, between Castle Island and Tralee, and he came on these two fellows that were in the house.
Yes.
And he shot two on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, so, yeah. And of course, we have spoken again about, you know, certain honourable men being involved in this, but we have spoken about a lot of people using the situation to, I suppose, exercise their own nefarious ends as well.
Mm. Now, as I say, McKinnon, to put it mildly, was extremely brave, but absolutely ruthless. Now, dare I say it, it's probably a wrong thing to say, but he had it coming. Now, he was shot as he was playing golf on Tralee Golf Course. Now, being a Scotsman, he would be familiar with putting a small ball in a smaller hole. But he was out golfing in Tralee Golf Club, and he was picked off by a marksman.
There you go.
So as you say, like it happens. You know, it happens all over the place. Now, on the 16th of April, at Anacotti, an issue that I'm familiar with, there was a raid by the RIC in Anacotti Village. And there was a lady living in Anacotti Village who was an RIC sergeant's wife. I think she was a Mrs. Courtney.
Yes.
And one of the black and tans stole jewellery right out of her house.
From an RIC sergeant's wife. Oh, not good. The wrong house. The wrong house to pick.
If they had taken it out of any other house, he had a chance of getting away with it. But so Mrs. Courtney called the sergeant in charge of the search, and she said,
"Of course,
one of your men stole jewellery out of my house."
Yes.
So he rounded up his men, and lo and behold, she identified the man that had it. And they were asked to turn out their pockets, and one of the men turned out the jewellery. Now, there is a rumour or a belief that he wasn't actually the man that stole the jewellery, that was the fellow with him that stole it and gave it to him for safekeeping.
Nice.
Now, Moss Cop, you know, he must have been a bit simple, I'd say.
Yes.
And the moment he was caught, he ran to the back of the creamery in a cottie, and he put his gun to his head and shot himself.
I see, that's a terrible story. I know that we talk and talk, but each individual case is different, isn't it? Like, and we have to look at these men as, let's face it, damaged goods before they came here.
Mm. Well, this is the thing, like, as I say, when you've got to look at the... I'm a bit more sympathetic towards black and tans, especially younger black and tans. They come out of school
to the trenches.
And wasn't off to the trenches to be brutalised. I'm more sympathetic towards them than I am towards RIC men who were throwing their weight around and who never had to fight for anyone.
Well, that's it. Like, they went from their schools, or many of them from care homes and orphanages, to the trenches and back then to England, and England where there were no pensions, no counselling, no infrastructure to care for them.
They had
outlived their purpose. They were sent there as cannon fodder, and they made the mistake of surviving. And then they were sent here.
Yeah. That's a nice way of putting it. They made a mistake of surviving. I like that.
I'm in a very cynical mood today, Tom Timmy.
Well, aren't you? We must have met someone on the way that kicked the eggs out of your basket.
I'm telling you.
Anyhow, moving on. That was on a Saturday. Now, the 16th of April is a Saturday. On the 17th of April, a peculiar thing happened in Castleconnell. There was a raid in Castleconnell by the auxiliaries.
Yes.
Right? And to me, it has a hallmark of a setup. Now, what had happened earlier in the day was three off-duty RIC men from Newport cycled to Killaloe. They're off for the day. They cycled to Killaloe and they came back by Castleconnell, and they went into the pub in O'Donovan's pub or O'Donovan's hotel in Castleconnell. for a drink. While they were there, now this is 8 o'clock in the evening, and don't anyone tell me that this wasn't an informer at work. While they were there, the place was raided by a force of auxiliaries from Killaloe at 8 o'clock in the evening. Now, it's not the time that you would normally be doing a raid, because...
You wouldn't just be randomly doing one anyway.
Yes, unless you have a specific reason, yes. Right? So anyhow, the three RIC men were off duty. The auxiliaries, who are supposed to be in uniform, but they decided to go to Castle Connell, half of them not in uniform, in Mufti, right?
Yes.
So when the three RIC men saw the auxiliaries in Mufti, you know, running around like wild Indians, they assumed automatic to the IRA. The auxiliaries had assumed that the three men in the hotel, one of them was English and the two were Irish, that they were IRA. So both crowds are firing at each other, each thinking the other was the IRA.
Yes.
Now, as it happened anyhow, one of the black and tans, a fellow called Pringle, who was from Donegal, ironically, he wasn't actually, he was from Lancashire. Pringle was killed early on time. Now, it would appear that it was Sergeant Hughes who fired the shot that killed Pringle.
Right.
Then Sergeant William Hughes, who was a fireman, he was killed, right? Now, at that stage, the three men inside, or the two men that were left, realized they need to put their hands up. So they came out with their hands up, and the hotel owner, Donald Donovan, walked out in front of them. And the hotel owner was shot straight away. Donald Donovan was shot straight away, or Dennis O'Donovan was shot straight away. At that stage, one of the RIC men recognised the auxiliaries.
Yes.
Or some of the auxiliaries. Now, two of the auxiliaries, there's a very good book done on in England, say, about the, it was done by two brothers that were in the auxiliaries, and they were teachers' sons from around Birmingham. And by God, they were no angels, the two of them. And they were among the two, the wild Indians at Castle Connell. At that stage, when they realised, hold on a minute, we're shooting the wrong people. O'Donovan had been shot.
Yes.
Pringle had been shot. And Hughes had been shot. Now, the thing about it was that there was Lord Parmer, who was a conservative lord in the House of Lords, was in staying in Castle Connell fishing. Castle Connell was noted for fishing.
Fishing, yes.
And he saw what happened. And he picked up some spit bullets, dum-dum bullets. And the whole thing was given to his brother, Lord Parmer. And it was raised, the whole issue about Castle Connell was raised in the House of Lords.
Wow.
And this time, you see, these things are happening all the time, say the Irish propaganda. But this is coming from within.
Yes.
And there's no ducking this one.
Yeah, this made it all the way to the House of Lords.
It fits us all. I mean, the dum-dum bullet.
Yes.
It was picked up in Castle Connell. Was shown on the House of Lords.
House of Lords, yeah.
You know, it isn't Joe Devlin that they can beat up, like, as they did at the Bloody Sunday.
Exactly.
Right? He was beaten up in the House of Lords, or in the House of Commons.
Yes.
It was one of their own, a Conservative MP, or a Conservative Lord from, you know, from England.
Yes.
But his brother was an honest man, and so was he. And the days are all overseas, you see, if you get an honest man, the truth might be...
The truth might come out.
The truth might come out, and that's
and that's what happened in Castle Connell. You know?
That's what happened in Castle Connell, yeah. So, as I say, that there was no answering that.
No.
There's more than lying. They couldn't, you know, what could they do? One of their own has shown a dum-dum bullet picked up in Castletown. It wasn't the IRA, it was their own honourable ex-officers in the Isle Auxiliaries.
That's it.
No.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.